What a joy and privilege it is today to open up the good word of God in the book of Titus chapter 2. If you can, get your Bible and turn to Titus chapter 2. And the Lord being our helper, we'll try to share some things with you today. Hope and pray to be a blessing to you. The word of God is precious and pure. I love it. I tell you, it does. It feeds the soul. I tell you, it just enlightens our eyes. And it's a lamp under our feet and a light unto our path. It gives us direction. It gives us instruction. And the Bible said that we must speak the things which become sound doctrine. We need sound doctrine today. We got so many things going on in our world today. And I tell you, people's got their own ideas. They got their own thoughts. Whatever feels good, you do it. It's okay. God just wants you happy. You can do this. You can do that. And so forth. But the Bible tells us that we have a way that we should live, conduct ourselves. There's things that are to be done in order. And the Bible said things that become sound doctrine. I mean natural things, just how God set them up, even from the beginning when He made Adam. And then He made Eve. He made a helpmate for Adam. He made a woman. You see, He took a rib out of Adam, put Adam to sleep. And he made a woman for him, a helpmate, because he saw it wasn't good for man to be alone. And then they had children, and they raised them up, and they taught them what God had told them to teach them. And so from the start to the finish, God don't change. His word's not changed. It's not to be altered. It's not to be misread. It's not to be misquoted. And I tell you, it's the pure word of God. And we need to live by it today, because that's what God gave us from the start. We go look in the Old Testament, we come look in the New Testament, and we see the way that we ought to live and what God expects. I tell you, what is abomination to the Lord? I mean, all these things that He has made mention of in His Word. And the Bible said in Titus chapter 2, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Sound doctrine. I mean, things that are true and real. And we see that in the book of Titus. We see in the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy. I mean, we see all this through the letters that the Apostle Paul had written to the churches. And as he begun to go through the missionary journeys to the different churches in the book of Acts and so forth, we see what God has done and said through the Apostle Paul. And how this young man Titus, he won him to the Lord. He also won Timothy to the Lord. They were his sons in the Lord. And Paul was writing unto Titus here in the first chapter. We spoke about that, how he would set things, set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had pointed thee in the Crete there. He left him in Crete there and he began to tell him and he began to commission or to speak to Titus about these things, that if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. And I tell you, see here that a man must be blameless, the husband of one wife, to be the bishop, the pastor of the church. And the Bible is ordained this. Now we're going to go on and read in chapter 2 here. And it said also that the aged men be sober. We're to be sober. We're not to be drunk with wine, which is the way in the mixture of the world. I tell you, that wine is a mixture. Just like grapes and water, that becomes a grape juice, a wine that they called it at the time. And it's not a fermented wine. It's not one of that sort. It's not a strong drink. A strong drink is when the wine becomes fermented and when it would cause one to be drunk and so forth. And the Bible said that we're to be holy and sound, grave and temperate. And I want you to listen to this here. It said, now the aged men be sober. We're to be sober, not be drunk with the world. And none of us need to be drunk with the world. Age, young, what have you. I tell you, being saved and born again, we're to be separate and dedicated to God, separated from the things of this world, not running after our flesh and not intermingling with the world and the fleshly things. But the Bible said that the aged men be grave, is sound in the faith. He said grave and temperate, holding things together, having self-control. I tell you, taking things serious. I mean, just sound in the faith. I mean, just strong in the faith of the Lord and the Word of God, and much love and impatience. Having patience, being vigilant. I mean, being stable and steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord, and we're to labor. I tell you, we must labor. We must fight a good fight. We must be sound in the faith. We must have self-control and have love and patience. And there's a time for all things. The Bible does say that be angry and sin not. I tell you, we're not to get in our flesh, but we can get angry at sin. And I tell you, but we still must have self-control, and we must understand and be patient with people, and to love them and care for them, and just think about how God wants us to handle this, you see. And I tell you, when God gives something and God gives rebuke from a man of God or someone that's preaching or what have you, I tell you, that comes from heaven, and you need to receive that. And I tell you, it's a time for all things. It's a time to rebuke. There's a time to exhort. There's a time for all things. And the Bible said here that the elder or the let's go ahead and say the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, and in patience. And also the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. They be in that same behavior and walk in newness of life, of course, and walking in holiness. I mean, just trying to practice holiness. The only way we can be holy is living for the Lord. Let Him have His way in our life. Whether it's aged men, aged women, younger men, younger women. We must walk in the light of God's Word. And that's the only way that we're gonna be holy. He is holy. He said, be holy for I am holy, thus saith the Lord. But we must give ourselves unto Him and just deny ourselves, deny our flesh, that we wouldn't fulfill the lusts in our flesh, but we would do the will of God. And when we do that, that's going to become holiness, I tell you. And they're not to be a false accusers. They're not to accuse falsely, not given to much wine, teacher of good things. They're not to be drunk with the world as well. And also not to drink fermented wine. Now, I take this here today. It's not given to much wine. I take it as being a grape juice. And at that time, especially back then as well, they told the Nazarites not to drink the grape juice just in case that it might have become or start to become fermented. And they wasn't even to drink of the grape juice, the wine that wasn't fermented, and so forth. But we're not to give ourselves to the world. We're not to mix and mingle with the world. And I tell you, especially the bishop, he said not given to wine at all, you know. And so we're not to mix with the world, and neither is the women or the men. But there's a lot to be learned here, but this is what comes to my mind. Is not given unto the world and mixing and mingling with the things of this life, but we're to do and they're to walk and have behavior as becometh holiness, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, how they're going to teach the younger women, and how's the age of men going to teach the younger men outside of living it before them? We got to live it. You see, we got to show them it's a way of life to us. And see, they see how it works. They see how you're blessed. They see these types of things. And I tell you, this makes them desire also to live that life. And we're to teach them not by tongue and cheek, but the way in our actions. In other words, we practice what we preach or what we teach, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, they're to love their husbands, submit themselves to their husbands. They're to love their children. Now, that doesn't mean that they obey their husband in things that are wrong or anything like that. We're going to read that in just a moment here. But the Bible said there to teach the young women to be sober and to how to love their husbands and love their children. That's a great a duty, I tell you, for the women. I tell you, just because we see in the first chapter that God calls a man to preach, to be the pastor of a church, we see that, but that doesn't mean that the women don't have a great deal. I tell you, they do. They're a great duty to do. And I tell you, you see a good woman, I tell you, one that lives and has behavior that becometh holiness, you'll see a great preacher. I tell you, if he's been called to preach and he's a bishop, I tell you, you'll see the difference, because she's to help him and she's to encourage him as well, and he's to encourage her. They, and of course, at all times, give each other due kindness and being long-suffering, not being bitter toward one another, but loving one another. You see, the Bible said, it talked about this, that God brought gave man the woman, and neither is, other words, man without the woman. Man come by the woman. So God gave a woman to bear and to have children, and for them to love their children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and so forth. But she's to be the one that loves and keeps the house there. Let's read verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, the word of God tells us that they're to be chaste and discreet and keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband. And that's not an easy task. There's some people say, well, they don't work. They just stay home with the kids and they just keep the house. And all they do is just cook and clean and do laundry and run this errand and pick up groceries and be sure of things in the house that's needful. That's all they do. But that's not all. I mean, that's a great job. And I tell you, it's very serious. And I tell you, one that does that and does it well, I tell you, they have a happy family. Because everything is in order, you see. We must have things in order. And when we have things in order, everything goes well. Everything, of course, you're going to have problems no matter what. But that everything's going to go well when everybody does their part. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Now today, it said, young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Now, I understand today that there's people and in both work and so forth and... But I believe, if all possible, I tell you, is to, for the wife to stay home and to raise their children. I tell you, we ought not to give our children to the public school system and to others that don't know God. A lot of the folks that deny God, and I tell you, they're blasphemous. Some are, and we put our children into the hands of people to program their minds. And to bring them up in the way and teach them the things that are is not even true. And I tell you, denounce God. They denounce the word of God and so forth. All kind of things going on. And God have mercy. We ought to teach them by the word of God. We ought to teach them right things, good things, what history teaches us. Which nowadays they're going back and change history. They change things. They rewrite the history books and so forth. They've even been trying to rewrite the Bible and so forth. But God help us today. But I tell you, me and my wife, we chose to put God first from the beginning. When we got married, when we first got married, they didn't have children and so forth. And she just worked for a little while. And I tell you, come time that and things happen in our lives and a death and she lost her mother and so forth. And she, her dad was, broke up from a car accident and so forth. And we chose to, for her to stay home with him until he got on his feet. And not only that, after that, we chose that she stay home and to, be able to, still do for him as needed, and also to keep the house and so forth. And we had one income coming in. We had a child. God bless us with a child and so forth. But we chose to go by the way that God said do it. And I tell you, we've been blessed. It wasn't easy, but we've been blessed. And I tell you, she didn't miss anything. She didn't miss their first words. She didn't miss their first walk or first step. I tell you, she was able to be there with them. and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to teach them. You see, we taught them by the way that we live. And I tell you, that God just blessed us. And that's the way that we ought to do it. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. And I tell you, it's good. I mean, you need to love your children and care for them. And we ought to do the things that way God says do them, you see. And I tell you, I don't look down on people, what people do and the choices they make. I just know what the Word of God has to say, and I'm going to teach it today. I'm going to preach it. Let me say this again. The Word of God is not old-fashioned. The Word of God don't change. It's same today and yesterday and forever. It's the same. It don't change. And so we can't say, well, this is just old-fashioned. This is just the way they done it back then. No, this is good for our day, and it ought to be. And I tell you, that's why we got so many problems in the home. That's why we got so many problems in the church. That's why we got so many problems in the schools. I tell you, because we're not doing the things in the way of the due order that God has laid out. In the verse chapter 2, verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Seek that and to be sober-minded. Not, in other words, not thinking on things of the world, but to be thinking on things above, being heavenly-minded, you see. Thinking on things above, not on things beneath. Being sober, being gentle, you see. Being discreet, what have you. Being stable, steadfast, being vigilant, you see. We got to be sober and stable in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Being sincere, living of what the Word of God says here, showing a pattern of good works. I tell you, that comes by sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, you see. And now the Bible said in the last days they won't endure sound doctrine, but they will heap themselves teachers having itching ears. God help us. The book of Timothy tells us that. And the Bible said we're to get back to the sound doctrine. We're to get back to the Word of God, my friend. If we're going to be blessed today, if the church is going to be blessed, if the home's going to be blessed, everything, we got to get back to the Word of God. We got to get back to sound doctrine, sound speech. Everything being sound, you see. That's what it said. And it said sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I tell you, if our conversation and our speech be sound, if it becomes seasoned with salt as we speak. See, the Bible said the contrary part is going to be ashamed and having no evil thing to say. They want to have things to say. They want to point the finger. They want to look at a Christian and say, oh, look at them. They call themselves Christians. Look at them, you see. But we're to have the pattern, aged and young. But here it said, the young men, be sober-minded and showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness and gravity and sincerity. Having a pattern of good works and so forth. And we see that the age has had more duty than the young, because the age has more understanding. They should have more understanding, and God's going to hold them accountable for that. And I tell you, we have even more so of a duty to have a pattern of good works, you see, and definitely speaking things that be of sound doctrine and having sound speech and so forth that cannot be condemned. He said here, verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Now, if you're an employee of an employer, and you're to be obedient unto them, you agree to work and to do, and the Bible said you're to please them well in all things, not answering again. I tell you that when they tell you to do things that are wrong, you don't do those things. But if they things that are right and just and good, we're to do those, and we're to obey them, you see, not prolonging, but showing in all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. See, we ought to whatever we do, do it so heartily as unto the Lord. You see, we're to do that. We all do. We should, and we're to answer to them, and we're to obey this, you see? Just as the church and those in the church, and they ought to submit themselves to the elders, and the elders are to be of a good report and not to be blameless and so forth. And of course, people are going to blame and point finger, but ought not to be true about what people think or what they say, I should say. But here it said, exhort servants to be obedient to your own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. I tell you, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared. The Lord Jesus has come. I tell you, He has come. And I tell you, He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's come to seek you, my friend, for you the need of your precious soul, to you to be saved and become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm a servant. We all servants, and we're to be obedient unto Him. He is our master. You see, He is the one that we seek to please, you see, and we're to humble ourselves before Him. But for the grace of God, I tell you, we don't deserve this. We don't deserve the Lord Jesus. We don't deserve that He died and shed His blood on a cruel Roman tree. I tell you, He was the Jews and the so forth, and said, crucify Him, crucify Him, put Him to death. And Pilate said, I find no fault in this just man. But yet He gave unto the Jews, and He gave Him unto them. They crucified Him, but He gave His life. They couldn't do this. You see, Jesus said, the hour is come. See, they couldn't take Him. They couldn't kill Him. They couldn't do anything until that time came, until He gave Himself, you see. When the Father said, it's time, and then He was obedient to His Father, you see. Jesus was obedient unto death. And just as He's obedient, we ought to be obedient, you see. We're obedient unto our Father. The wife is to be obedient to her husband in the Lord, you see. They're to love one another. And then the children to be obedient unto their parents, you see. And see, that's the way it goes in the church, and being obedient to the Word of God, obedient to the man of God as he's speaking from the mouth of the Lord, you see, and so forth. And the elders and the young, and we have it all here today, how it's written and how God wants us to take it serious. But it's by the grace of God. Grace is the unmerited favor. It's something that we don't deserve. We can't work for it. But yet Jesus came. He came out of the bosom of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. He brought salvation. He's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The age, the younger, and so forth. The age and younger and all in between, whatever you want to call it. The Bible said, teaching us all, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. I tell you, it wars against the soul. I tell you, the things, the lusts in our flesh, we got to die to it. The Bible said it's a deceitful lust. I tell you, it deceives you. It makes you think you're going to get all this and all of that. You see, the devil paints a pretty picture. Sin will bring pleasure just for a season. That's all. I tell you, it leaves you empty, defeated, destroyed. I mean, beat down, overrun. I tell you, that's what the sin will do. Worldly lust, wars against your soul. You see, the Bible said, Lot, they vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. God have mercy. His wife, she turned to a pillar of salt when she looked back and lusted. She was saved. She was saved so much as by fire, but she suffered a great loss. She lost her soul. She died before her time. She didn't lose her soul to hell. She went to heaven, but she did not live because she looked back and lusted. And the Bible said she wasn't able. I believe it said it was Lot, his two daughters, and his wife. They was just less than five souls, I believe it was. And she turned back and lusted and was turned to a pillar of salt. And the salt has lost its savior. It's good for nothing and cast out in the foot of men. Listen, we that are saved, We are the salt of the earth. We're the salt, you see. She turned to a pillar of salt. She didn't turn or be like the chaff where the wind drove it away from the start. But no, she was of the salt, see. Our conversation ought to be seasoned with salt. You see, we're the wheat that's put into the barn. We're the preserved in Christ Jesus. You see, the chaff is the unprofitable, the unsaved, which the wind taketh away. You see, the chaff, you see, it's just like going up on that mountain or where that great wind is, and you take the wheat and throw it in the air, and the old chaff, the old stuff, the unprofitable things will fly away, and the heavier things will fall, and that's what's the good part, let's put into the barn. And you see, but she turned to a pillar of salt. You see, she was saved so much as by fire, but suffered her loss. She died before her time. And the Bible said we should live soberly. We got to live soberly. She wasn't living soberly. I tell you, and Lot, I mean, how they, and what he did. I tell you, it wasn't of God. It wasn't of God at all. It wasn't sober living. Righteously and godly living. God help us today in this present world. We're to live this in the present world. We're going to be hated. We're going to be persecuted. Jesus said, they persecute me, they'll persecute you. They hate me, they'll hate you. If you live right, you live what the Word of God has to say, I tell you, they're going to hate you. I tell you, these people today that will hear this, and I right away, I tell you, their feathers get ruffled, and they're ready to speak out. They got their sharp tongue ready, and they're ready to throw some darts, and so forth, because of the fact conviction comes on you. But I'm just speaking of what the Word of God has to say. My friend, if you have something they want to argue about, you take it up with God. This is His infallible Word of God. And I tell you, He called me to come and to teach it today and to share it with you. I'm His messenger. I'm nothing, but I am His messenger. And He sent me today. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now today, I'm not hoping that He's coming. I tell you, I got a blessed hope and know He's coming. Well, that's a blessed hope. I know He's coming. And I know He's going to appear. You see, He's coming a second time. But He's not coming to die this time. The first time, He brought the grace of God. He came down to die for sinners, that we all could be saved. See, it took a sacrifice. It took a holy sacrifice. It took a sacrifice that God could not and would not despise. The death of His Son, the blood of His beloved Son, full of grace. Listen, out of the bosom of the Father, full of grace and full of truth, you see, He came into this world, a sinless person, but became sin, that we would be made the righteousness of God in Him. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's coming. He's coming to get His church out of here. He gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, a zealous of good works. We're to be a peculiar people and zealous of good works, you see. As we live as the Word of God and lives by the Word of the sound doctrine, you see, that the Word of God gives us, we're to be different. The world's not going to keep it, but they expect us to keep it. Our lives are reading epistles known and read of all men. And I tell you, they know. A lot of the people, they may not read the Bible, but they do read our lives. And they know in somewhat how we ought to live, you see. And we're to be a good example to this world. We're to purify ourselves. We're to be peculiar and zealous and having this pattern of good works and living of the Word, the sound doctrine, you see. These things speak and exhort. And rebuke. We're to exhort one another. Share this with one another. Tell them about the Word of God. Show them what the Word of God has to say. Speak the things that be of sound doctrine. And take it and rebuke with all authority. What He's telling Titus here. These things speak. And it's telling us today. We that are saved. We that are called. I tell you, we all have a gift. We all have a part of the body. And we're to be strong. And we're to speak what the Lord has to say and exhort and rebuke with all authority. I mean, take the oversight. That's what He told him. That's what Paul said. Take the oversight. Feed the flock of God. You see, we're to take the oversight wherever God's placed us and whatever He's called us to do. And we're to speak it. Not be afraid of those. He said, fear the one that's able to kill the body and soul, not just the body. You see, we're to fear God. Put him first. Just speak it. And I tell you, he'll take care of the rest. Exhort, share it, and have fellowship. And rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise thee. Let no man despise thee. Don't let that get to you. They're going to despise us. They're going to hate us. They're not going to want the word of God, people, today. You're going to lose friends. I tell you, so-called friends. There's going to be people, even those that are saved sometimes. You speak the truth. And they'll get ill affected towards you. I tell you, they'll get convicted. If they don't do anything with it, they don't get it right with God. I tell you, better set sin, all kinds of things. They'll point the finger. They'll blame you for all kinds of things. You're the one, you're the problem of this and the problem of that. I tell you, the finger be pointed at you, but that's okay. The Bible said, don't let it get to you. Just be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stand on the Word of God. I tell you, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He'll take care of the rest, my friend. And I tell you today, I appreciate the Word of God. I love it. And I tell you, that's what we need today. We need the Word of God, sound doctrine, what we need. And I tell you, it's very thin today. Very thin. The Bible said there's a famine in the land of hearing the Word of God. It's, first of all, there's very few that's really preaching it. Very few that's really being strong in the Lord and the power of His might, bringing the message that God has given and teaching and preaching sound doctrine. I tell you, where is it today? Where is the Lord God of Elijah today? God have mercy. They've kicked Him out of the churches. I mean, they kicked Him out. I mean, if it's any truth. I tell you, if you come in speaking sound doctrine a lot, most of the churches today, they'll kick you out. I tell you, they'll tell you to go on your way. You see, I tell you, but those that love the Lord and those that are saved, we know it's the power of God. It's a comfort to our hearts, and we love the truth. And I tell you, we want sound doctrine. We don't want things that are unsound. God help us. We live in a world like that today. Everything in the world is unsound. It's not the truth. God have mercy. Natural things. Doesn't nature teach you if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. Nature tells us that, teaches us that. Man ought not to go around looking like a woman. A woman ought not to go around looking like a man. And now they've already gone so far as saying they are a man or they are a woman when they're not either one. When they're actually, a man's not a woman and a woman's not a man. You see, God gave man. He created man. He created woman out of man. And then man came by the woman. And I tell you, we have it today. And that's the way it is, my friend. This is the truth. But God, I mean, just nature tells you things are not right. I tell you, without natural affection, I tell you, God have mercy. People's gotten away from God. They'll serve the creation. They'll serve the trees. They'll serve the stars. They'll serve the sun. I mean, they will do all these things and forget God. God have mercy. They'll do all kind of ungodly things, you see. Just like they did even in time past. And it's so bad today. That it's just today, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to call yourself, you can do it. If people say, I'm a tree, God have mercy. I'm a tree. And this and that. I mean, so forth. Their mind full of confusion. That's what the Bible said it would be like. And that's what's happened. The God of this world, that's the devil, have blinded the minds of the people. Unless the good news of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. We must preach it. Preach sound doctrine. Let the word, let the gospel shine unto them. See, let us live it before them that they may see the truth. That we might, we might be able to save some, you see. We might be able to reach some of them. Not all going to be saved. Not all going to receive Christ. They're going to reject Him. They've been rejecting Him. And not all going to be saved, but we're to live and we're a debtor to all men to show them and to live before them a life that's beyond reproach, a life that's pleasing unto God. You see, we're going to make mistakes, but when we do, we apologize. If we wrong somebody, we apologize. We tell them that we were wrong, that we made a mistake. We come short. We don't want to confuse nobody. God help us. They already live, and people are living in a lie. They're living in a lie. They're calling themselves this and they call themselves that. They're having marriages that God's not ordained. They're living in a lie, you see. It's of the flesh. It's of Satan himself. Satan is going forth to deceive, and that's what he's done. And I tell you, he's taking it and just perverting the gospel, perverting the word of God is what he's doing, trying to. You see, by these types of things, he wants to take everybody to hell. You see, but God says to live right and to in other words, show yourself holiness. You see, behavior as becometh holiness. We ought to have good behavior and show them the difference, even when we're wrong and even when we're buffeted and when we suffer persecution. The Bible says if we suffer, we are to suffer as a Christian. Suffer because we have behavior that becometh holiness. And if we suffer, praise God. He said you can leap for joy. You've been counted worthy to suffer. But if we suffer as an evildoer, God help us today. We're not to suffer as an evildoer. We're not to live like the world, look like the world, smell like the world. We ought to live like God wants us to live and be a good example. God help you today. God help me. God help us all. I want to take up chapter 3 next week, Lord willing, and to be able to share chapter 3 with you. I appreciate the word of God today. I love you. I hope it was a blessing to you. Well, my prayer to God is always, my friend, if you're not saved, I pray that you come and that you fall before God in your own knees. If you can get on your knees, if you can't, you can bow down with the knees of your heart and you can cry out to him for mercy and forgiveness of sin. Get by yourself somewhere, whatever it takes. Cry out to God for mercy and forgiveness. And I tell you, don't let up till you know you've been saved. If you want to really be saved, you don't want to die and sin and go to hell. God's speaking to your heart. He's dealing with you. You feel him tugging at your heart's door. I tell you, don't push him off. Don't push him off, my friend. Invite him into your heart. Receive him. I tell you, pour out your heart before him. Tell him how unworthy you are. Tell him that you're sorry you sinned against him. Ask him how mercy upon your sinner and forgive you. Save your soul. And don't let up till you know you've been saved. And then you'll walk and become a new Christian, a new creature in Christ. And I tell you, old things have passed away. All new things come. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit will come and live in you, direct your path, and comfort you from day to day. God bless you, my friend. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.